the thing that we've learned and appreciate far more is the fact that architecture is produced by people, and the best architecture is produced by people who are being themselves.
This is the In-House Podcast with Murray Henderson and Jim Webster.
Welcome, everyone. This is the In-House Podcast with myself, Murray Henderson, and my colleague, Jim Webster.
Today, we're reflecting on our first 10 years of practice, having set up house in 2013. Murray, how would you summarise the journey over the last 10 years?
Well, first off, you know, what's most important is that we've actually worked longer than that together. So we probably had about 10 years together before that. And you were my gaffer, so let's be honest, that wasn't the easiest thing in the world to deal with. So the next 10, thankfully, have been slightly different. I think it'll be quite interesting, quite a learning curve, in all honesty. When we started, it was fly by the seat of the pants stuff. Anything was available to us, we can do whatever we wanted to. We thought everything was achievable. Then reality kicked in a little bit. We started the practice coming out of a recession. Some people would say that's maybe not the brightest idea. So we've come through that pretty strongly. You know, if we forget architecture, forget the work side of it for a second, we've come out of a recession, we've had COVID. So of the 10 years, we probably the first three were disrupted by market conditions. We had a middle three, or kind of latter part of the 10, that's been quite disrupted in context of the world being all over the place. So that in itself has been quite interesting in how we've had to adapt and understand what we did have available to in infrastructure terms to support that, to what strength the team we had behind us. Been interesting in itself.
I mean, in spite of all that, we may not have felt it at the time, but we've gradually and kind of with purpose slowly evolved the practice, both in terms of the projects we're working on, the clients we work with, and the team that we have, and how the team has evolved and developed and changed over those 10 years, and how we've changed over those 10 years. Because I think when we started, we probably underestimated what it was going to take to set up a design studio in Glasgow, what we want in order to achieve what we wanted to set out to do, or the form, how the studio would evolve to achieve what our aspirations were.
Yeah, well, it's also, if you think about when we started, we set it up on the basis of what we wanted to do, what we thought was important to us. And I'm not saying we've lost that, but it became quite quick in the realisation that actually you've got to make sure you're also making everybody that you bring in to support you happy also. So whilst we could be quite selfish in our approach to just doing what we needed to do, it really quickly we had to start thinking about, well, we've now got this younger member of staff at that grade, at, you know, that level of experience or, you know, responsibility. How are they happy in their job? And so all of a sudden it wasn't just about architecture anymore. It was everything that went with that and the support of people, which we talk about what we do or we don't get taught at university. We certainly don't get taught how to manage in architectural education. We don't get taught how to deal with everybody's life problems or try to support them the best way we can. So I think all of that thrown in the mix has been quite an interesting learning curve. We've joked about it every now and again that sometimes we feel a bit like counsellors. We're not just architects, we feel a little bit like we're counsellors and we're agony aunts and we're the listening ear. That's a big part of running a practice, I think, and I don't think we thought about that at all at the beginning.
No, and also the thing that we've learned and appreciate far more is the fact that architecture is produced by people, and the best architecture is produced by people who are being themselves. And a lot of what we found is just working with the team and actually just allowing them to get over any preconceptions of how they need to perform and actually just be themselves and to loosen up and be confident.
I remember a girl that's since left the practice, but as we were going through the process of trying to bring her in, interview, conversations, and we were kind of explaining the type of culture we were trying to create, the type of environment we were trying to create, the work we were going after, and she didn't believe us. She was like, it can't be like that. I think having since come in, it took a while to realise that what we were saying was what we did on the tin, so to speak. Our culture statement became a really important part of the practice. That 2A4 pages of what we were thinking about, what the practice really is to us and what it can be for others, was quite interesting. I remember another colleague who had come in for an interview was handed the culture statement, showed it to her husband, and he said, you should take that job. I mean, the strength of that was really important. I think that's in itself helped to sculpt the team we've got.
It's had a massive impact, and I think that when we had a session with the guys a few months ago talking about the next 10 years, it was how do we evolve and how do we develop the culture statement actually? What is it that we need to do as founders and leaders of the practice to give the best or provide the best environment for people to flourish? And it's just constantly just trying to create that opportunity for people to develop.
Taking it back a step just to architecture then for a second, like whilst the team's obviously hugely important, what we produce and the output is how we're judged, not necessarily in the strength of the team, that's what supports the output. From when we started to where we are now, some of our projects have been big and small, have been difficult, challenging, you know, more straightforward. Just thinking about that for a moment, is there any project particularly that jumps out at you that you think, that was tough?
For me, probably the toughest was the smallest project I think we've worked on, which was Traeger House, which is a individual home for a client who was from construction industry. And his brief to us was that he wanted a house that could be in Sydney, which is pretty difficult when you're working within quite strict planning conditions in Glasgow. So it actually proved, I mean, it was tricky because it was a very tight site and he had massive aspirations in terms of what he wanted to achieve. And the project took longer than was planned, cost more than was planned. And that was mainly because he was so invested in the project and that everything had to be absolutely perfect to innovate in terms of detail, the quality, the use of stone. It was just...
Well, I mean, you think about that, as a client, if you were looking for trademarks of what a good client is, somebody that's prepared to go to all lengths to make sure it's as good as it can be, you would typically say that's the type of client you want to work with. But I think for us, we learned a great deal. We got some great exposure from it. We got published.
In Scotland's Home of the Year.
Yeah, more recently on BBC, that was a plug. Also, we were nominated for an RAS award, which was the first time that had happened in our history, which was nice. But I think what's also important is that small project is often overlooked by the fact that we have a range of projects that are considerably larger, with recent successful projects in say Manchester's Angel Gardens, or more recently Holland Park in Glasgow. We've got Shawlands Regeneration, the arcade, which is a fantastic opportunity for the town centre of Shawlands to see some much needed investment. But I suppose it's important that we reflect on the fact that what's always excited us is the ability to work on everything and not try to put ourselves in any kind of bracket of we only do this or this type of building or that size of building. You and I have always been quite, we're architects, we can design anything, attitude, and I think that's reflected in the kind of portfolio that we've developed so far.
And also how the portfolio's developing, especially the last couple of years, having Green Market office development on site in Dundee just now, which will be occupied by BT when it's completed. That is our first new build BCO Grade A office that we've done. But I think part of our success over the last few years is partly where you and I have started to have a better understanding of what we're both good at, where we split the roles in terms of architecture being a long process, where Murray looks after projects through planning stage, then I look after the projects through delivery stage, and that's just where we have a natural ease of working in both what we do, and it allows that clients can have a complete clarity of who to go to in terms of if there's any issues or anything they want to talk about on a project at any time through the process.
Yeah, well, I think a big part of that has always been making sure that we don't fall into the category of telling a client as a director you're going to be on a project from start to finish and then you throw a graduate on it. You know, it's the best commitment we can make to our clients is that we split our time, and there's always access to management, to leadership throughout the duration of a project. Because as you know, 10 years can seem like a long time in a lot of things, but for an architectural practice, we're still relatively young when you think about the length of some of the projects we've worked on from start to finish. Angel Gardens, 6.5 years. You know, having a commitment to a client for that length of time with access to leadership has been really important for us, and I think that's started to certainly help develop some of the relationships in a strong way over the last few years. So, Jim, we just touched there on some of the more challenging projects that we've had. when you think back to when we started, like we've always talked about, we're a bit reluctant to generate mission statements. What's the vision for the practice? As you're reading every book on how to start a business, but you and I were kind of, well, we don't really know what the vision is because we don't really know where we want to go. We just know we want something that's different from where we've been. And that was an ambition in itself. But from where those original thoughts started in our busy weekend in Berlin, that thought of the idea to all the deliberations in your kitchen about what we call the practice, to actually the first weeks in there and developing what our attitude towards the practice would be, how close to those visions and ambitions do you think we are now from where we were?
The practice is, without having defined what we actually wanted, we have a great design studio in Glasgow. We're working on a quality of project, on a number of projects in different locations, which is testament in terms of the foundations we've built. We have a great team who are committed and will continue to develop. And I think that we've done not bad over the first 10 years.
I think we've done pretty well. Well, we're still here and I've not missed a mortgage payment, so that in itself makes me quite happy. I know we say that tongue-in-cheek, but I think it's probably important to acknowledge the fact that running a business can sound like it's a glorious endeavour. Sometimes there are some pretty dark moments, and that's born out of the fact that getting paid at times can be quite tough, and that's no criticism necessarily. It's just the reality of the industry we work in. That's getting tougher. When there's things getting tighter around the world, we hear of cost of living, gas crisis, wars. They all have knock-on effects to construction, and that just delays payments. They're tough. They drive you to a pint or two every now and again. And we've had a few over the years when it comes to that. But I think, as you say, in general terms, 10 years of business, a portfolio of projects, a growing and emerging team with great opportunities ahead of us, I think that's pretty exciting. And in context of that, we always like a party. And we've had a few decent ones over the years, but how are we going to celebrate 10 years?
Well, I think we're going to have a house party.
Lovely.
That's a bit of a cliche, but we're going to have a...
How many times do you think we could, in one episode, use a house cliche?
Probably more than most people could even think was possible, but I'm sure we'll give it a go. I was going to ask you, Murray, we're reflecting the last 10 years and we talk about difficulties and challenges, but what have you enjoyed the most?
Well, I've enjoyed a number of things, if I'm being honest. The prime reason why I even wanted to entertain the idea of starting a practice with you, I suppose the getting back to being on the tools, and by that I mean genuinely being in amongst the designer buildings and creating. I think prior to house, I had got myself into a position where I was managing constantly and paper shuffling and not really in amongst the kind of creative design aspects of how it is to conceive an idea about how a building evolves from nothing to something. But then combined with that, I suppose what I enjoy the most is the battle of the politic and the challenge of getting, whether it be planning policy, whether it be the minds and the objectors in local communities, like engaging with them and trying to explain reasoning and rationale behind why design is positive for that particular location or that particular brief. I really enjoy being invested in that. I think sometimes that can bring a lot of disappointment. We talked about it, there's lots of emotions that we can hide as people in our day-to-day. One I'm not very good at hiding is disappointment, but I enjoy the battle that comes with that. And I say battle deliberately because it's getting harder and harder as, you know, the political environment we operate within gets more and more challenging. I've really enjoyed that. I think also, beyond anything else, is actually seeing people grow around us. I started with you when I was 33. Now 43, and there are young people that have changed their lives in the period that they've been with us, from coming out of uni, renting a flat with their mate, to now having mortgages and planning weddings and having kids and all that type of thing. I think that's been quite an enjoyable part of it, as well as allowing us to see people grow with us and with the practice. We're not just, an old football manager used to always say to me, I'm not just a football coach, I'm a life coach. I think that's quite an interesting thing to think about in context of being a business owner. We own the business, but we also are engaged with lots of people every day and always try to give advice on a number of things. I quite enjoy that part of it beyond anything else. Right, Jim, I've got a wee question for you myself here. Who's helped us achieve what we've achieved?
There are many people have helped us along the way. I think two of the the main people who have helped us have been Laurie and Cara, who have allowed us to do this without having wives and full-time employment. It would have been impossible for you and I to take an idea born over beers in Germany to actually allow us the time and the periods initially of actually just getting the practice up and running.
Certainly the first year, we'd probably have been out of the house.
Yeah,
to be
so it allowed us to commit the time and to basically be working for not a lot of money while we got things going. They're the two people who have helped us the most, I think, to get the practice up and running. Other than Laurie and Cara, there's so many people to try and thank, it's impossible, but that ranges from the team who've all worked with us over the last 10 years, and I think that the last we looked at, there was something like close to 50 people that have worked with us.
Over a piece, aye.
Over that time.
It's quite an interesting one as an architecture practice, because there are people that come in and out based on the way the education process works, and you have part one to come out, they go back to uni, they might then come out and travel the world, or, you know, we've had a fairly sustained core of people over the piece, but there's always that kind of transient nature.
Yeah, and you talked about earlier, it's been refreshing to see how some of those people have gone to different practices and flourished, and they're doing well in lives. And It's not just about architectural life, it's about them as individuals and marriage and where they live in the world now.
We've also been pretty lucky. We've had a core group of clients over the years that keep coming back, which, in all honesty, is hugely important. Repeat business is the most significant part of sustaining a business. We've been very fortunate. There's a good core of those clients who we must thank, and we probably do each time we're at an event where we're one or two pints down, so to speak. Also, I think we've benefited from the way we approach our work, that we're growing relationships in other areas that are important to just generating the business for the future, whether that be through local authority engagement, stakeholder engagement, engaging with communities, charities. I think it's opened our eyes to lots of other avenues to support and generate future workload.
And also, there's been a core group of consultants we've worked with who have been really fundamental, especially the early days of getting the practice up and running, where we didn't have any portfolio, we didn't have anything that anybody in reality should have taken us seriously about.
Well, to be fair, we didn't do what most people do, is when you leave somewhere else and you start something new, you usually use the work that you've done before. You and I made a fairly deliberate decision that because we wanted to change direction, that we weren't going to share any of that work, and that we kind of waited to build a portfolio. So we've not been a kind of shouty practice,
no.
But quietly went about our business deliberately because we wanted to be able to share our own quality of work, not someone else's. And I think that's worked well for us because it's allowed us to genuinely develop an attitude and a culture and an approach to design and our design process that people want to use. And that's why we're getting that repeat business and the consistency of that, which has been great.
And those consultants have been really sort of fundamental in terms of us to deliver and develop the architecture we want to do.
Conscious that we might need to consider things that we would maybe do differently moving forward, are there any that immediately spring to mind? I've got one. You and I aren't very good at interviewing, are we?
We're not very good at interviewing.
our approach to recruitment has improved, and I think it will continue to improve. We've obviously brought in better support in terms of HR, and Barry at Frank HR that's helped us structure certain things and look at the growth and development of our staff and our team moving forward, which is, I think, is hugely positive. I think that's something that we've acknowledged already, that there's areas for improvement in that. That's hopefully a good thing. I think also we're always trying to find ways to adapt our approach, and whether it be technology, our engagement with media, so on and so forth, that allows us to improve the quality of our design. I think it's not that we would do anything differently, I think we're continuing to try and find ways to evolve that. I think that's hugely important as well. In context of the next 10 years then, is there anything burning in your belly that you'd like to achieve?
I would like to see the practice continue to evolve in the way we have done for the first 10 years, but actually take as a foundation and then realise that anything's possible. I mean, I'm in my mid-50s now. I'm not going to be full-time in 10 years' time. and I want to make sure that the team we've got and you and the practice evolves into something which is, we look back in 20 years' time and go, yeah, that was all right.
Yeah, so I think fundamentally it's about empowering people to actually realise the opportunity that's available to them and trying to give them the opportunity to do what we've had the pleasure of doing over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And trying to grow the team in that way.
And how the team can contribute to that and help that continued evolution of the studio, be it in Glasgow or in New York or elsewhere.
Thanks again for listening, everyone. You can listen to more of our podcasts on our website at house-collective.com.